hope to read two portions of Scripture in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3, the Epistle to the Romans part of chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Turns the epistle to the Romans to read part of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Leave the reading there. May the Lord help us in prayer. Gracious and merciful, long-suffering God, through thy mercy, we are permitted to gather on this occasion, and being gathered, we beseech thee to grant thy presence be with us, and thy blessing to rest upon us. We seek the divine help of thy gracious Spirit in this matter of prayer, seeing as thy word declares, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, and therefore need the instruction and help of this gracious Spirit. We ask that all needful grace may be given to us each this evening to worship thee acceptably. Pour upon us the true spirit of worship, and grant that there might be found in our hearts a desire to acknowledge thy mercy extended to us each, and in particular to one at this time. Thou knowest the reason for our gathering this evening, and all that must be attended to by and with thy help. And we seek that thy name may be honored and glorified in that which is attended to this evening. May it be ours to realize that this is our first duty when we come into thy courts for worship, to seek first thine honor and glory in that which is done. And do favor us, we pray thee, with a sense of thine approval. May each of us, if thy will, enjoy a sense of thy smile, and be favored for for a while this evening to walk in the light of thy countenance, fearing to enjoy thy favor, and receiving from thee all that is needful at this time. We thank thee for gathering a number of our friends together to join us in worship this evening. And we pray a blessing for them each. May there be that which during the service shall be for their profit, and lead them each to render unto thee praise and worship, so that it may be a profitable occasion indeed, and a time to be remembered, if thy will, by many. Help we need, thou knowest, that thou art a God with whom nothing is too hard, but all things are possible. And as thou canst supply all our needs, we endeavor to plead with thee that thou wilt thus supply our needs this evening in this service and that which is to follow. And may thy blessing rest in particular upon our young friend, whom we believe thou hast brought to this decision and to this present moment of time. We ask for her a particular blessing, a sense of thy nearness to her, a feeling of thy support, and may she realize that in walking has helped in the fear of God and in the ordinances of the Lord's house, there is a reward. Not that she would do this with this in view, yet we pray that in walking so, she may receive the reward, the answer of a good conscience before God, and the sense of thine approbation resting upon her. One who walked in this ordinance as recorded in thy word went on his way rejoicing. Our prayer is that our young friend may be favored so. Proceed on her way with a sweet measure of sacred inward heartfelt rejoicing. We pray thou wilt bless her with that peace which passeth all understanding. Do grant that she may feel the sweetness of sin forgiven and the conscience cleansed from guilt. And thus may she be favored with grace to continue to walk in the path of thine appointments, to realize that thou art with her day by day, and that thou art her keeper and preserver. He that keepeth Israel, we read, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord lieth upon the righteous, his ear open to their cry. May a young friend realize this in all the vicissitudes of life, in every need, providential and spiritual. May she feel as she journeys on that she has for her help the God of Jacob, and is therefore in a happy case. We ask thy blessing to rest upon thy servant, who in due course is expected as help by thee to attend to the ordinance of baptism, strengthen, bless, support, and be with him. May he feel thee very near, and also enjoy the sense of thine approbation resting upon his spirit. We desire to thank thee that the testimony of various of thy servants has been made of use to our young friends. We thank thee for this privilege and pray that they too may also feel comforted in that their labors have not been in vain in thy name. May this be to them a source of encouragement to continue in the Lord's service, sowing such seed, which is the word of God, as thou shalt be pleased to give them, and not to withhold the hand, not knowing which shall prosper, seeking to leave the issue with thee, but watering the seed by prayer. And thus bless all thy servants, and still accompany the preached gospel with thy power, so that still sinners may be called out of darkness into thy marvelous light, and may it also be the means of bringing others to walk in the ways of thy commandments. And so we pray that there may be granted to exercise children of thine that enlargement of heart the psalmist mentions, which will enable them to run the ways of thy commandments when thus enlarged. And may it be that there shall be also encouragement for our younger friends. Thank thee there are in this gathering this evening a goodly number of young people, and for them we would most earnestly pray thy grace to be granted while young in years, and that they will plant in their hearts thy holy fear. Lord, be with them in the pathway of life. Preserve them from the evil. Keep them by thy power. Do give them to see that they are not too young to walk in thy ways if led by thy Spirit. May the gracious example set before them at this time be a means in thy hand of awakening in various of these young friends, an exercise which will presently be brought to a gracious fruition, to thy glory and their good, and the building up of thy church upon earth, the strengthening of the various churches in their causes of truth. If this should be thy will, we would earnestly desire thou wilt grant us this favor, and wilt thou enlarge the congregations even yet with gracious seekers after truth. We ask thou wilt give a concern even in these solemn days in the hearts of those who at present show no sign of fearing thee. Yet thou canst draw, thou canst bring in. We pray thou wilt yet grant Zion an enlarging of her coast, a building, a plant in time if thy will. Meanwhile, grant, we beseech thee, to those that remain, strengthening thy support, all-sufficient grace, faith, patience and courage to continue against so much which thy nature will discourage. To this end, look upon the various causes of truth in their diminished condition. Graciously hear prayer for a revival if thy will, to bless us here still. Accept our desire to acknowledge thy mercy on this occasion. We do desire to praise thee for thy kindness to us and to our young friends. We pray that we may yet be favored to see see thy hand going before us in the ministry of thy word, making it profitable, fruitful, and that which shall continue as a means of thy worship and witness in these solemn and godless days. Hear prayer for aged friends who would willingly be with us, but thou hast seen fit to lay them aside in weakness. Sanctify this to them, we pray thee, and grant that they may be enabled to fall into thy hands and under thy will. But we pray for compensations for them and consolations too. We ask they will visit them as they cannot visit thy court. We pray they will bless them with a sense of thy presence and drop a word to cheer them if thy will. And do good with all for whom we would and should pray. We would remember the needs of all thy servants and pray thy blessing upon those now present, that thou wilt be with them in their going out and coming in, and bless them in all their labors, and bless them in their own souls. And grant they may be much in prayer this evening for another needy servant, for each who need thee this evening. May prayer be offered, and may prayer be graciously answered, if thy will. We would remember our land, and pray that even yet it may please thee to extend thy hand on our behalf, to rule and overrule, to prove that thou art still that God who reigns. And yet, it must be that for our sin, that must come to pass which we so much fear and dread. Grant us submission to thy holy will, for we must acknowledge that we deserve thy wrath, though we need thy mercy. Do support through all thy will, whatever it may be, and yet we would ask that if it is thy will, thou wilt yet deliver us from the power of Rome, from affinity with nations who serve thee not, which will bring us further under thy displeasure, and probably under the heavy chastening of thy wrath. We ask for mercy, though we deserve it not. Know, Lord, one feels to need thy pardoning mercy himself for all that may have been uttered amiss. We feel aware of omissions. We believe we have many needs we have not expressed before thee, but wilt thou in thy love and loving mercy grant all thou seest we need, and wilt thou accept our desires to thank thee for every privilege, every blessing, every benefit we each enjoy. We do desire to receive these thy gifts gratefully, and would live to the honor and glory of the giver. And now we pray that thou would grant a gracious concentration to one upon thy word, and favor with a door of utterance if thy will, and bless those that hear, and empty send them not away. Bless each who take any part in thy service this evening. Strengthen and support, and pardon every sin, since we ask these great mercies in thine own great name. Amen.
One. his track I see, and I'll pursue, and there away shall be my deal.
Thank you.
concerning this evening will be found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 27. The Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. This scripture spoken by him who described himself as the Good Shepherd seems this evening to be suitable as a subject for meditation on this particular occasion. I'm venturing to hope that the few things I might be helped to say will be made seasonable to the occasion. Those who walk in any measure in the way of life will expect, will need to hear the voice of the shepherd. Without his gracious instruction, usually revealed by the means of the Holy Spirit, one is left in doubt, in decision, and oftentimes is permitted to lay aside the exercise, feeling not to have heard the word which they appear to need before the step can be taken. One is brought to this conclusion in view of the fact that many of the children of God, we believe, complete their course and go to heaven without being constrained to walk in the ordinances of the Lord's house. We can only come to the conclusion that in this respect they have never heard the voice of the shepherd with power. Yet the Lord says, "Hear my sheep, hear my voice." Then how am I to interpret this? Obviously, they hear his voice as his voice speaks to them. And the words they hear are intended for them. He speaks, obviously, too, on all occasions in strict accordance with his holy mind and will. I cannot accept any other decision other than this, that his will be performed in all of his children at his appointed time and in his appointed way. Therefore, those who hear his voice in this particular concerning the ordinances of his house will receive from him the ability, the grace, the strength, the courage which is needed to obey his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Before I go any further, I would like to refer to the earlier verses in which he says, the sheep hear his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. That particular scripture, he calleth his own sheep by name, will presently confirm the next clause in my text. I know them. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now it is a remarkable thing that the people of God, when they do hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, although they may not immediately recognize it, are conscious of a power which attends no other voice, it begins to have an effect. It begins to move the person concerned, and it begins to cause usually a concern to know what the mind and will of God is concerning this voice that they have heard. Sometimes, of course, it is a voice of reproof which is heard first. May even be that of rebuke. A young friend mentioned that she first received correction in this respect, being found in a place which was brought home to her very pointedly and powerfully. She ought not to be. And this, one would be thankful to say, did not have the effect it has on so many. You would say, what is that? Oh, in the case of so many, it does but harden. And they proceed further into the paths of sin, determined to have their own way. But where the grace of God is given, even in its early stages, it will have an effect, because it's the gift of God and it's divine in its power and protection. Consequently, our young friend fell under the reproof, was found confessing her sins and seeking for that blessed gift of God, God's mercy. My sheep hear my voice, and though there are times when he finds it necessary to reprove and rebuke, it's because he loves them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then you see, when his voice is heard in mercy, there will be a going out to him in gratitude and thankfulness. There will be an inquiry as the journey proceeds in this experience of presently seeking to know what the will of God is concerning them, especially if there is a felt sense of sin forgiven and mercy applied with power, and the conscience receiving cleansing. There will be this exercise growing up within, many inquiries perhaps along the lines, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Grant me thy divine direction in the way that I should go. And this may go on for a long while. Our friend, while willing, I believe, to do whatever the Lord required, knew what it was to feel her own inability and insufficiency, and confessed to unworthiness, felt unfit to mingle among the people of God. Yet the voice, we believe, still spoke. Now I would mention, should perhaps have mentioned it before, that there are certain ways, even in these days, by which the Lord's voice is heard. Obviously, it isn't his natural voice that was heard when he was upon earth, but it's surprising. I believe it will surprise you when he speaks to you. What means he can use to communicate his will, in which you will hear his voice. He is able to give a word from himself directly from the scriptures by the application of the Holy Spirit whenever, wherever he will. This will be fulfilled, I feel sure, when there is any particular purpose the Lord has in view for any of his children. This word will be fulfilled, my sheep hear my voice. Frequently, indeed, perhaps chiefly today, the children of God hear his voice through the ministry of the gospel. There are, as you know, without me going into too much detail, numerous occasions when, if we're honest, we only hear the voice of the man. This may be listened to respectfully, interestedly perhaps. It may be that there's an agreement with what is spoken, but there must be, and no doubt there are, many occasions when you would not be able to say, I heard the voice of Jesus today. But you will know when you do, my friends. You will know when you hear the Lord's voice in the sanctuary. And I have proved, not that I wish to go into my experiences this evening, but to encourage you, I have heard his voice in a line of the hymn, sweetly spoken with power, which delivered from fear and settled one's mind. I hope you may experience the same on many occasions. You may hear his voice as a poor, weak child of his endeavors to call upon his name at the throne of grace. You may suddenly hear the voice of Jesus, and you will realize that there is a shout here. There is that which is positive here, my sheep. Hear my voice, because he decides and condescends to speak through means to bless and guide and instruct, encourage, correct his people, that they will hear his voice. And when the Lord condescends to grant a direct word of promise, which he sometimes does to his people, you'll never say, where did that come from? You will know from the power and sweetness and effect of it that it came from the Good Shepherd, the Savior of sinners. If I was a more orderly minister, I should probably have begun where it would appear one should begin. That is that in this hearing his voice, a miracle is performed in the sinner before this is possible. By nature, we are blind and deaf. By nature, there is no possibility of hearing his voice. And so this word implies and allows me to say that his sheep, his children, who I would prefer now to describe as believers in him, have their ears opened so that they may hear his voice. And they are attuned and prepared to receive his voice. I believe before he speaks, there's a preparation carried on in the heart and experience of God's children to prepare them for this, so that by the time the Lord is pleased to speak, the ear is ready to hear. I've sometimes used, by way of exhortation and encouragement, that brief prayer that Eli gave to Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, is waiting to hear, is anxious to hear, desires to hear. A useful little prayer for the child of God, who anticipates and keenly desires to hear a word from Jesus, especially in times of need and times of need of guidance. One will implore that the Lord will speak to an ear that is waiting to receive a word of guidance. How the people of God will Savior's voice is heard, granting them a sweet and personal promise, something which will probably abide with them throughout their whole journey and often be the cause of support in time of need through the power which this word possesses, having come from their Lord. This, I believe, calls one to write, rest on the promise he has spoke, in all things ordered well for thee. Such a word will cause you at times in your prayers to use the same approach as did the psalmist. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast called me to hope. This has been my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. My sheep hear my voice, and I heard a dear servant, dear child of God once say, he's now in heaven, there came the time when the Lord spoke again, and I recognized it as the voice I'd heard before. I found this most instructive, very encouraging. It shows that this voice is a singular voice, easily recognized, identified, its powers realized and recognized when he speaks again. Well, I feel a need to bring before you a certain little scripture. I believe it will be the concern and proceed from the heart of God's children at some time or times during their pilgrimage journey. This little scripture is this: the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Cause me to hear it. Here is that same willingness, desire wrought in the heart to hear the voice of Jesus, to be favored with a word from him, as we hear others say they have been favored. This will cover the description, the companions. They will be your companions, and you will hear. I wish we heard more of it. Hear what God has said to them, the voice that they've heard on various occasions, and what it has done for and on their behalf. My sheep hear my voice. They know the voice. It's nothing strange to them. They become so aware of the power of it. They realize that it is so effectual in their hearts and lives that they're found seeking for that voice to speak again. I'm not able this evening to go through the various kind things, tender scriptures which we have in the Gospels, which record what the voice of Jesus has spoken when he was upon earth. But there are those scriptures contained there which, if the Spirit take them and apply any one of them to you, you will immediately recognize them as the voice of Jesus. And if he should be pleased to confirm that this is for you, you will then be in a happy position of being confirmed as a member of his flock. You see, this is implied here. My sheep, you can put the emphasis in another way. My sheep hear my voice, no other. My sheep do. They hear my voice in tenderness and love. Even when I correct, they hear it in love. And so there are these scriptures which, when set before us by the Spirit, seem to carry a new meaning, have a new power. My sheep indicates that he's the owner, that he has a far different, much higher regard for them than an employee. You and I have heard earthly shepherds refer to the flock as, oh, these are my sheep. But you know they are not. Not unless they are like this good shepherd who purchased them, and therefore they belong to him. There's such a sense in these two words of ownership. My sheep. They are mine, in a double sense. He says himself, all that the Father giveth me, they are his by gift from the Father, but they were given him to redeem. He had to pay a tremendous price for their salvation in order to be able, as this chapter contains the precious promise, be able to give them eternal life. A tremendous price he paid, leading the apostle in another place to say, you're not your own, you are bought with a price. But you belong to the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Surely there is no question as to whether the owner knows his sheep or not, seeing that he bought them, and since purchasing them, has never ceased to care for them, to watch over them, to preserve them from enemies, and to deal with their afflictions, and to lead them on safely, and to feed them, and to lead them, as we read, by those still waters. Certainly he knows all his sheep. I should be not doing my duty unless I confirmed this evening that the Good Shepherd is none other than God. And God is the divine possessor of foreknowledge, clearly indicating that his knowledge, I was about to say commences, but I'm doubtful whether any divine attribute has a beginning. It existed, maybe, perhaps a safer word to use, in eternity past, known to God are all his works from before the foundation of the world, and all his people too. The apostle sets the seal on this when he says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows their requirements, he knows their fears, he knows their weaknesses, he knows their sorrows, he knows their desires, he knows all that goes on in their minds, he knows his intentions toward them, and he knows what he has provided for them. He knows them because he has chosen them. He knows them because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for all of those whom the Father gave him, and therefore they are established as, to use the Lord's own figure, sheep of Christ, his sheep. I know them. But there's another sweet word, and I feel at this stage I must bring it in, just to remind you of it. He says, and am known of mine. This means that there's something mutual here, a knowledge which is returnable. His knowledge is then imparted to them, so that they may know him also, which it is evident they do, because he says, might they know his voice, recognize it as distinct from the voice of strangers. But there is a word. which says, "Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known," which confirms the word before us now, "I know them." This is our mercy, because were it otherwise, our election could not be said to be founded on a firm and sure foundation. But our election and calling by grace is firmly established by the fact that the Lord does know all for whom he died, and these will all, because known, be brought presently into the covenant of grace and under its blessings, and be enabled to recognize him as their good shepherd. So, I might perhaps make just a few remarks on these two clauses in relation to the experience of our young friend. I feel I may say that she has been early in life privileged, and I do mean privileged, to hear the Savior's voice. It's a privilege to be corrected by him. It's a privilege to be exhorted by him and to be guided by him into the path he has chosen for one to walk in. He will guide, he will lead, he will give that word which is needful to preserve from every wrong step all whom he has mercifully taken in hand, as we have every reason to believe is the privilege of our young friend, to be graciously in the hand of this good shepherd. I wanted to refer to, during this evening, if reminded, refer to a word in Ezekiel, where there is a chapter there greatly concerning sheep and the shepherd, and this particular scripture is included. "Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." How this indicates that the knowledge of Jesus extends beyond knowing his people only. He knows just where they are. In more senses than one, that word will apply. But I hope the church here with myself has felt grateful to him that he has condescended to come to Jireh and search and seek out one of his sheep there, and reveal his will to that one, and give the strength as well as the willing mind to obey his voice, seeing that he has chosen in speaking to her to make his mind and will clear concerning her. And I believe he has given a willing mind to do that which the Lord requires. It means receiving a submissive spirit. It means laying aside one's own will in the matter. It means that not only must one lay aside the unwillingness, but also that fear of being unsuitable. And that saying, "Oh, I couldn't. No, I can't." There is a taking refuge behind these excuses, I believe, in so many cases. But what a mercy to hear the loving voice which, while it makes clear the will of Jesus, speaks in such a kindly way as to strengthen one to perform and obey the word that is spoken. I believe our young friend has experienced this. It's contained in the word which is in the Epistle to the Philippians, I believe. "It is God which worketh in you both to will," that's important, "to will and to do of his good pleasure, to hear his voice, to be made willing, be then able to do that which the Lord requires. Then, even if the words are not actually spoken, the actions speak louder than words, and this is implied, I will go. I will go. Or, perhaps, to use the scripture, there is that wrought in one which causes the question, what doth hinder me? What doth hinder me to be baptized? And if the Lord should speak through his word, by the mouth of his servant Philip, you will discover that the essential is, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The voice of the Lord Jesus will then be sought to confirm one's belief. I believe our young friend earnestly sought this. It's included in one word, confirmation. You will need the word confirmed, and you will ask that it be confirmed. And then I believe the first part of my text will again be fulfilled. My sheep, hear my voice in confirmation. Yes, it shall be put at rest in their minds that this was my word and is my will. The Lord grant that there may be many of the friends before me this evening who may hear his voice clearly directing them. May they receive confirmation as often as it is needful to keep them walking in the path of his commandments. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. There is, of course, on these occasions, much emphasis placed on necessity of this particular step of following the Lord in the ordinances of his house and in the rite of baptism. This is to be expected this evening, that this particular path should be emphasized and set before you as the path the Master has trodden. But it is by no means the only way in which the sheep of Christ will be expected to follow him as believers in him. No, they must expect all here largely to share in their measure in the path allocated to their Master and to his disciples who followed him closely. There will be that need of grace, the same grace that is needed to walk in this particular path will be needed to follow him through life. But there's always this encouraging truth that I feel impelled to bring before my friends. I believe it's a great mistake to cease to speak of following the Lord Jesus at the end of life. True, we need all needful grace through life. But if we're followers of the Lord Jesus, surely we shall follow him until we reach the place where he is now. And this is the prospect which I would, for a moment or two, set before you, and in particular, before our young friend. An obedient child, a follower of Jesus, a disciple, a believer in him, has a glorious destiny, a beautiful and lovely expectation set before them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand or my Father's hand. They have safekeeping, and presently there will be a safe and abundant entry into the glorious abode of life and peace we know as heaven. This is the destination of those who hear the voice of the Savior in this gracious way. the haven to which they are proceeding along life's path. This is the gift of eternal life, which we read of as being in the hands of this dear Redeemer, he having purchased it as he purchased them to receive it. And so they follow him expectantly, hopefully, trustingly, believingly, constantly, because upheld by him. He is for them the leader. I'll emphasize this before I sit down, that the Eastern Shepherd conducts his flock in a totally different way to what we're accustomed to observe in this country. He leads, they follow. He leads into pastures green and beside still waters. He leads away from barrenness into that which is nourishing. He leads by the right way, we read, that they may presently go to that city of habitation. He leads because he knows what is best for each of them. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the refreshing waters of salvation are. And you may trust him to lead you as he sees your need is into those pastures which will be for your nourishment, to maintain the work and life of grace within, which will presently, through his mercy and by his power, be followed by eternal life. And as there is this second service to follow, I think I will leave these two remarks where they are, hoping that the Lord may make some word spoken a blessing to some of his, and particularly to our young friend this evening. assured we had done, that your present position here this evening is due to the fact that you've been privileged to hear the voice of the Savior favoring you with answers to your prayers, giving you to feel that you have personal interest in him, and then having been given a gracious exercise to know what his will is concerning you, I believe he has made it clear through the means I have already referred to this evening by the message of the gospel proclaimed not only here but in other causes of truth by other servants of God. Still it has been in your case to hear the voice of Jesus confirming that work within and bringing you finally to the decision that you must take this step and confess the Lord Jesus before men. I would like to remind you at this stage of the Lord's own words concerning those who do confess him before men. He says, but those he will confess before his Father which is in heaven. What a privilege has been granted you to receive his grace while young in years and to be under the influence of the fear of God. I need only remind you further of the blessed estate of those. What does the word say? For I know that it shall be well with those who fear God. And what a mercy to feel to be one of those, and to have, as I've tried to mention, confirmation from time to time in your soul that it is so. Now it's customary on these occasions, I believe, for a poor servant of God to endeavor to give some word to the candidate which may have rested upon his own mind for the occasion. In seeking the Lord to give this, it would appear that he has settled my mind on a very brief scripture, but if the Lord enable you to do this, you will proceed on your way henceforth safely and safely arrive at home in due course. That brief word is, cleave to that which is good. The Lord help you to do this. I'd like to add just this. God is able to make all grace abound unto you. We need it, all of us, just the same as you will feel to need it. And now may the Lord go with you and with the servant of God as you now seek to proceed with this ordinance.
We read, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me being baptized? And Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we read, they went down both into the water. Jesus said, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good thing which shall not be taken away from her. On confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, In the name of the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Redeemer, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Example is clearly given. The Lord grant a gracious exercise yet in the hearts of true believers. May he enlarge hearts yet to run the ways of his commandments. Let us conclude with a word in prayer. O Lord, we acknowledge thy great mercy bestowed upon our young friend in particular, and upon this cause of truth, and we who work it here. And may that which has now been attended to be followed with thy blessing. May thy grace, all needful grace, be given to our young friend, and to us as a church and people, and to all who fear thy great and holy name. May it please thee that yet there may be obedient children in this house and in Zion at large, who by their walk and conduct shall show clearly that they have been with Jesus and learned of him and desire to be found among those who serve and honor him and follow him through life and death and resurrection into glory. Thank thee for the help given to our young friend and to thy servant. We pray a blessing upon thine own word while we seek thy forgiveness to cover all that thou and the purity of thy mind and eyes have seen amiss. We commend and commit each of our friends into thy kind care and keeping as we separate. May thy blessing attend them and thy hand go with them in the way they take. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each and with all thine. Amen.